Bam Erickson here with AfterBuzz TV for Power Season 3, Episode 7, titled Don't Go. Look who is sitting next to me. We got Shane Johnson, who plays Cooper Sex, and we want to know what's up with them secrets, bruh. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
They say this is a big, rich town. I just come from the poet's part.
Come on, sing, Joe.
Bright light city life, I gotta make it. This is where it goes down.
Work it.
This is such a feel good.
Wait for that need to drop in.
I never took a straight path nowhere. Life's full of twists and turns, bumps and bruises. I live out from the city full of yellow.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Bam Erickson here with AfterBuzz TV. You can follow me on all social media at Bam Erickson.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Kenelia.
Hey, guys, Janisha here. You can follow me on all social media at Janisha underscore Miss VI.
And sitting next to me, wow, we're so glad to have him in studio. He plays the character of Cooper Sax. Please welcome Mr. Shane Johnson.
Welcome.
Wow. What an episode. We're going to get to that whole investigation in a minute. But the first thing I want to discuss is I want to discuss Angela and her sister Paz. Okay, so Angela knows she messed up. She's in her feelings. She knows that she's messed up. And her sister Paz is kind of giving her the business. So she like... should she like continue to kick her down just so she know like don't do it again, or should she just kind of ease up?
I think she needs to ease up a little bit, but still be like, just play that supportive role a little bit, because you know, we all make mistakes, we all have these relationship f-ups, you know, as I'll call it. But at this moment, she doesn't need someone to tell her, you know, I told you so. And no, she needs someone there to just kind of show her some love, give her a little big sister hug, and you know, that's about it.
Yeah.
Then later on, when you see her slipping again, be like, look, we're not doing this again, you know. But for right now, I just think she needs some loving.
Yeah, I agree. However, Paz, Paz is hilarious. Like, Paz is funny because, you know, she, as soon as Jamie comes in, she's like, I know what you did. She threw his little Target bags onto the ground. I was like, all right, beat it. So, yeah, she's a little hard on Angie, but she knows when to come through and she knows when to have her back.
I think the Jamie thing was necessary.
Yeah.
But I think with Angela, though, I just think maybe not so much put, aww, like, just kind of telling her, like, I told you so, in a sense, is where what I'm getting from Paz.
Yeah.
What's your take on the sister relationship?
Well, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting relationship because they're really codependent on each other in a lot of ways, you know, because Angela is taking care of Paz in a lot of ways, right? She's taking, sure. I think she's helping put her kid through school,
yeah,
or some shit like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's this weird, they both kind of parent each other. And I don't know what's up with the parents, if they're still alive or if they're around or what.
Well, the dad was in that retirement home, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Not a retirement home. He was sick, and he...
something like that.
Yeah, he was in a home. So she's taking care of the whole family.
So does Paz come off as the type of sister who seems to never be happy with whoever her sister dates? Because, you know, she clearly has not liked him since they were teenagers. And so sometimes I do have to wonder, you know, is she mad because she don't have a man?
No, I don't think so. Because remember, she wanted Angie to be with Greg.
Yeah.
She was like, girl, he has a good job. Mm-hmm. So what if you don't really love him? Spark isn't there. He's there for you and he's around. So I think it's just ghosts.
She thinks Jamie is bad news.
Yeah. Yeah. He is,
well,
though.
And the other thing is come season 7, when it comes out that Ghost is actually the father of her child. Come back in the day.
Y'all, like, y'all not going 7 seasons.
No,
y'all going 5, and that's because, listen,
you
I think
only 5.
Yes,
he thinks 5.
I say it's only 5 because this type of show is so great. It's like you just keep hitting them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then boom, and then just make everybody go and rewatch it and relive it. But 7 seasons,
but
I say
in the
no.
Spinoff, Ghost returns
after he being dead.
It's gonna be Paz's son who takes the reins,
right?
Right.
Right. Right.
Last thing about this this relationship, did you notice how Paz was checking for Tim when he walked into the door?
I mean, hey, mama gotta have a life too.
I'm saying.
Oh, you mean about how she was like?
She was like,
look at that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just kind of makes me wonder: is she in her feelings because she don't have a man?
I don't think. think so. I just think as a sister, because I have two sisters, mm-hmm. and you know, we go through this again, the relationship mess ups all the time, and they just sometimes you just want more. You want the best for your sister, especially they look like they have such a close relationship. Mm-hmm. She just probably thinks she's a queen and she deserves the most, and you know, she's just settling for the situation with a married man, and mm-hmm. so I don't think it's a situation where she's bitter.
Okay,
you know, like, oh, I don't have a man, so you can't have a man too. No, we always want our siblings mm-hmm. to have somebody that treats them the way they deserve to be treated.
And it would be weird if she were really supportive of that relationship. Yeah. Like, no, this is great. A married man who's got all these other obligations and children and is treating you the way he's treating you and lying to everybody. That's great. Yeah. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. And I will now let me be on the other side. Her intentions are pure, because the one thing that she did say is when Angela was like, well, he showed me the separation paper. She said, are they signed? And for me, that was a drop the mic moment. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Karen and James. So, Karen and James agree that if he can bring the money by the end of the day, he'll have the deal. Okay, so Karen, I noticed she was flirting with Dre. Then James cock blocks, and then he belittles him in front of Karen, saying the kid's got a lot of potential, a lot of shade, a lot of cock block. And James and Karen kiss cheek as a goodbye. What the hell is going on with this relationship? I smell like something stank.
Wait, on whose behalf? Karen? You think Karen Shady?
Yeah.
I think we kind of brought that up before. Yeah. We don't know Shady to what degree or who's really behind this Karen situation. But my issue with that Karen situation, Jamie is hella thirsty to get this club deal. Like, I get it that he wants to grow and he really is into this and he wants to turn his business into something he's always dreamed of. Okay, I understand it. Mm-hmm. But he is hella thirsty. You have three clubs now. If you don't have the money, I understand if he's like, just give me a week. Like, I feel like he's not even himself when he's around Karen. I don't feel like he's Jamie or Ghost. I feel like he's just thirsty Shakim who really wants to get linked up with this club deal. Shakim. He's like, that's Shakim. When he's with Karen, his name is Shakim.
Oh, okay. I mean, I will agree with Cornelia. I
don't know what that means, but I like it.
You like it? Shakim, yeah. We'll stick with the hashtag. Yeah. Shakim.
Fourth personality.
But I agree with Cornelia. I do think that Jamie, Ghost, whoever he is, he has not been himself this whole episode and most of the season. I just think he's just all over the place. And, you know, thirsty again, like, you want this club, but you have so much other things you're dealing with right now. So maybe the club thing isn't the best thing right now.
Well, technically, before the situation that we'll get to later regarding the money and the whole Dean thing, it seems like a great thing for him to go ahead and buy it. You know, the club is flourishing. Why not? You know, and why not take the club?
Yeah, why not partner
so
with
it, it seems smart. But for me, my issue is with Karen, the way she's got the little love eyes for little young Dre. There's just something there's something in my spirit that just says stay away. Then let's now add her dad. Okay, so now her dad,
Horatio.
Horatio.
That's he says. He says. I think the Stern Vanisher is going to make a fantastic partner. So the fact that he mentioned Stern's name and they're both of a particular age, what is his relationship? Does he know Stern? Just the whole thing about his dad. There's something. I smell a rat. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, at this point, I wouldn't put it past. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't put it past for something to. There to be some connection as maybe like a payback situation. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you took Stern's club, my friend. I don't know whatever it is, but I agree. Yes, that situation is shady, and the fact that he did mention Simon Stern, it was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But even backtrack. Remember before we knew Dean was Milan, mm-hmm. and he tried to approach Ghost
about Karen. Yeah.
Yep, about Karen. It was like, mm-hmm. We need to talk about Karen. He had something to say about Karen. What it was, I'm not sure, but I don't think we should forget that, because why would they show us that?
True. At the same time, too, we do know that, you know, Milan's intention is to have, you know, the drugs be sold in the clubs mm-hmm. and in the hotels. So maybe he wanted to talk to Ghost about that, you know, after revealing who he is basically to Ghost. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's a big reason why Ghost is pushing so much for this club, because now, guess what? He has to sell drugs in the club.
Mm-hmm. What is your take as a fan? Not Cooper Sacks, the character, but Shane. What does Shane think?
About this situation?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, if I'm Jamie and I drive up to that hotel, That hotel was banging.
It was. Mm-hmm.
Like, just when they show the image when, you know, as he's driving up, I was like, shit. And I think for him, as a businessman, once he hooks into that group of people, it's like he's off to the races.
Okay.
And somebody like Karen and her father, who's kind of more letting Karen do it, and he's just the money guy. That's what the vibe I get. He's just kind of there to rubber stamp it, right? But if he hooks into her network, mm-hmm. all of his dreams of being international, of having clubs pop up all over the place and all these hotels, it's kind of like instead of having three clubs, he'll immediately, within a few years, probably have 10 or 15.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And he's international. And then he can maybe start to leave this other crap behind him. That's his goal, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How realistic, though, is it now with all that stuff going on, you know? It's a lot. I think it's just so much for him to take on.
He's a master at compartmentalizing.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he has to be. Like, this shit happens with Tariq mm-hmm. and Dean in the car. The next thing you know, he's cutting a deal. He's going and he's having a thing with Angela. And then he's going and he's being a dad to his son and correcting him. And he's everywhere.
Everywhere.
And he
everywhere.
Manages to do a pretty damn good job of not bringing his BS from what just happened, like watching somebody get their face blown off, mm-hmm. to like his dad moment or his business moment. Yeah, sure. He'll go out and kill somebody and then come in and go, hi, Karen, how you doing? Yeah. Yeah. Here's some champagne, you know, and he's got nothing. You know,
crazy. Just,
so compartmentalizing.
That is an excellent analogy. And so now let's go into the storyline a little bit more. So Tommy and Julio shows up at the club, mm-hmm. and Tommy sees Dre, gives him the finger, and tells him to F off.
He says something about Tony the Tiger, right?
Yeah, called him Tommy the Tiger.
That was funny.
I was like, he kind of does. Yeah.
Why would Julio mention to Dre about being back into the game when you just heard Tommy tell Dre to fuck off and I don't want you to be a part of the business? Like, am I being too petty?
You think it was messy? I don't think he was being messy.
But he had to hurry because Tommy talks loud.
But he knows that Ghost is back in.
Exactly.
He knows that Dre is supposed to be in step with Ghost. So
okay.
You would automatically assume all hands on deck. If he knew, because remember, Julio knows that Tommy and Ghost cut ties. Mm-hmm. He knows that they weren't fooling with each other. And now all of a sudden they're back together. So I would assume that he would be like, oh, shoot, well, we back in business.
Dre's on board.
Get everybody mm-hmm. on board. Let's do this. Let's get this work. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, we saw Dre was like, I didn't know.
He felt so mad.
Yeah.
Which was right. mm-hmm. I get Ghost trying to protect him, but, I mean, you know.
It's also like two number twos.
Yeah.
You know, they're both number twos, Julio and Dre.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like they're left alone in that moment. And it's, you know, they're both kind of the secretaries of the boss, you know? It's like, so, how are things going? Yeah, I guess, you know, whatever. That's the way it read to me.
Yeah.
It's like they were just finally left alone.
The admins.
And they both kind of have their tail between their legs a little bit. Because Julio's not been treated well recently.
Mm-hmm.
And Dre is, you know, it goes from being like, things are great, and he seems to be in step with Ghost, to, you know, bitch slapping him into his place.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually intra episode, it'll happen back and forth, and so he never knows where he stands.
Yeah. And I again, to piggyback off of what you're saying, I don't think Julio did it intentionally, because at that moment we see Tommy telling him, no, you stay here, and his face was just like and then
okay
and then he goes to, of course, to Dre, and then they have that exchange, which I agree with you, has a lot of admin feel or secretary feel.
Yeah.
That's a they would punch me in the face if they heard me say that. I just meant that it's kind of like the, so what are you doing, you know, vibe.
Yeah. It's like the little brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when the older brothers go off and play basketball and you can't play basketball, you're on the side like, it's like, it's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so now after that, Tommy and Ghost goes into the SUV with Dean and the goons.
Mm. Nice SUV, by the way.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
There it is. Tommy is like, I'm my own boss. I don't care. Like, I'm going for the ride, but like, you can totally tell that they're at odds.
Yeah.
And once they get out of when they were in the van, Dean says, basically, you're my slaves. You're my slaves. You're going to work for me. You're going to do what I say. Tommy's not really having it. So now now you have Ghost and Tommy who are on both sides of the opposite field. Tommy calls Ghost out for being Milan's bitch. What are your thoughts about that? Because Ghost says we should pay him, we should sit back and we should see what's the next move. Obviously, because Tommy has been doing things without Ghost, he feels that he's capable of being able to do this. So, open discussion. What do you guys think?
I mean, we just kind of see their personalities, I think, at this point. You know, Ghost being cool, calm, collected, just a little more organized and just strategic. Mm-hmm. Where we see Tommy now, he's just a wild card. He goes in, bang, bang, asks questions later. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've always been that way. But like you said, Tommy has been in the position of power now. So now he's talking up and he thinks he has a handle on it. But I still think that Ghost's way of doing things has always been a smarter way. It's cleaner. It's a little more efficient and just organized. I don't know. You can't just be wildin'. Tommy just wild.
Yeah. But then Ghost seems scared. Mm-hmm. And think about, like, Tommy has known Ghost his whole life. Ghost ran the street. Ghost was that dude. And all of a sudden, you get in this SUV and you see your boy turn into a little, like, a bitch. But you're like, what's wrong with you, dog? Like, you're
but like, Miller, you know what I mean? Tommy's like, eats people. He eats people.
Tommy's like, yo, what's wrong with you?
People can be delicious.
Put a little salt and pepper on it.
Tastes like chicken. I think that what we're really looking at is men in different universes right now, even though they still have this tether between them that will never be broken, you know. Mm-hmm. Tommy and Ghost, right? They're brothers. But Tommy has nothing.
True.
He has nothing. You know, he might have some money and a place and all that stuff, but forget that. He emotionally has nothing to lose. And Ghost has everything to lose.
True.
And so Ghost, being scared, he's not scared for himself. He's scared for Angela, his kids, his wife, all that. And the other people that he's trying to take care of. Whereas Tommy's just like, fuck it, man. I got nothing to lose. Fuck you. What are you going to do? And he starts talking shit to Milan, knowing that he just saw Milan fucking snap a dude's neck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the next second, he's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't give a shit in this moment, whereas Ghost is like, shut the fuck up, man.
And Tommy also feels, with the death of Holly, he doesn't feel complete. Like, Tommy feels like he can go at any point.
Yeah. He's done.
Which I makes me wonder now, will he actually kill himself rather than someone kill him later on down the road?
I don't think so now. But can we backtrack a second to, you know, bringing up, since you brought up Holly and, you know, Tommy not having anything, the fact that, again, he keeps prying about whether or not Ghost took care of Angela. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just, misery loves company. I just think he's miserable
that Tommy keeps bringing that up.
I do too.
Besides it being like an eye for an eye situation, if Ghost was not dating Angela, if they were not in a relationship,
boom,
she would have been gone a long time ago. He would have killed her.
True, but her dying right now does what? Bring more attention to that entire situation and to them. I don't think it makes sense to kill her right now, honestly.
I think he's blaming Lobos.
Well, very true. Denise, you make a good point. It does not make sense to kill her now, but at some point she has to go because as Tommy said, well, are you going to warn me the next time I get arrested? Like, Tommy already foresees what's going to happen. He feels like they're basically going to take the fall, or he may take the fall, because James is going to sell himself out for his, what do you call her, side bitch?
That's what Tariq called her.
We're going to get about that. But
I'm just saying.
But Tommy, I see why he feels that she should be dead. I have to agree with Tommy on this point. She needs to die, be dropped off in a river. She needs to be removed from the situation, because the reality, like Shane said, if he has nothing,
then Ghost got to give something up.
Yeah.
I agree with you. You said misery loves company.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going on to a large degree, because Tommy kind of has this air of, hey, this might be the undertones of what he's saying, but he killed Holly for Ghost. Mm-hmm. Because of his connection to Ghost. Mm-hmm. He was protecting Ghost, even though in his mind maybe Ghost was already dead, but he was like, this is how passionate I am about my brother, that you, who I love, I'll fucking kill and leave here. Wow. And so when it comes to Ghost, he's like, you can't even get rid of her. You can't even deal with that shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what would I do? Basically, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Not to mention, we see that he finds out about the baby.
Oh.
Yeah. That was so
Latasha's in it.
We'll get to that in a second. Okay, okay. So with this Dean thing, I have to say, I'm not really particularly feeling this whole Dean storyline. I get why Ghost would be completely oblivious because he has so much going on, but for him to go for Dean knows everything. He knows everything. He knows everybody. I mean, everything that Ghost has tried to do, Dean has always been three steps above.
What does he want? He wants something.
He wants to eat his children.
Or Tariq.
Reyna. That's how
Tariq's
toast.
Tariq's toast. And that's how he's going to go out.
Hot sauce.
Tabasco on Reyna.
A meal. Mm.
They're eating people. You sorry? You want to sit over there? I'm just saying.
You look good, man.
I'm not very big, so I mean, it's not a big. It's not much of a meal.
Gnawing some bones.
But there's something about this storyline that just I don't like it. Like I understand, like I said, I understand why he would be oblivious, but it's almost as if Ghost intelligence has been completely just stripped. Like he's not aware of anything. And normally, like you said, because he's such a strategist, that I feel like he should have been able to figure something out, even when he was looking at the paper of Tatiana. Mm-hmm. Like you already know
that
they're looking. Why do you have this paper out looking at Tatiana when you know that there's like a gazillion of his goons watching him in the club and there's video? So for me, that just seems like Ghost would not do that.
Well, but again, Ghost wouldn't. But would Jamie do that, or James? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I don't think either would.
I don't mind the Dean storyline, because to me, what I take from it shows that you are never on top of the food chain the way you think you are. Because
yeah.
Ghost was walking. Ghost walking around. Exactly. Mm-hmm. He's walking around here murdering people, coming back to the club with a whole different suit on like he did nothing wrong. So yes, he had this power, he's Ghost, but when Dean came in, it was like, oh shoot, I'm kind of not,
yep,
it's like,
yeah,
I'm kind of not who I thought I was, or I am who I think I am, but there's somebody who is matching everything that I'm bringing to the table. So I don't mind it at all. Mm-hmm. I like that they did that to Dean, because Ghost doesn't seem invincible anymore.
Okay, so now what are your thoughts on Kanan showing up at the back of the club, not knowing that he's being watched, and then he tells Dre to get the information, then Dre tells him about doing the background the anonymous tip for Tatiana. Yeah. So all that information was either outside or in the club. Kanan's in trouble.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, Kanan pulled up and was in the car. Did y'all see him sipping on the lean? Now he's addicted to lean.
Yeah.
Jolly Ranchers.
Exactly. So he's...
I think we should get that.
He's already done.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Kanan, he's just a troublemaker. You know, like...
He's in pain.
And he's in pain. And he's a wild card. You don't know. Like, think about how he pops up out of nowhere. Like, ha! Mm-hmm. He's such a wild card that...
You from the streets. Yeah. That's what that
is. How about the old lady?
Okay, so... Oh. Okay, so... Okay.
What's up?
That scene was so tough to watch.
It was so tough, but someone asked me on Twitter, what did I think about that? And I wonder if that's Tasha's grandmother.
Ooh.
I wonder if
still
it's Tasha...
Still living in the projects, though?
Listen,
old people don't leave. They don't leave their home.
They don't leave. Okay. Like they don't fear thugs, hoodlums. I dare you to come on my house and I'll beat your ass with a farm. Like old people don't care.
They don't leave their homes.
So who do you think Big Mom is?
I think it has more to do with the place.
The place.
Because he says, I'm about to, he goes and he moves Jesus out of the way. And there's a bullet hole in the wall that he knew right where it was. And he says something along the lines of, I'm gonna give Ghost a history lesson, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what the hell that's about, and I don't know who the old lady was. She didn't seem to recognize him.
No, she didn't. I'm. That was just sad to see the old lady.
Hold on a second. I gotta do something real quick. I'm just gonna kill her.
Right.
All right. I'm back.
What?
It's pretty awesome.
Psycho. So vicious. Oh my goodness.
Psycho.
And then what he does is he takes that woman and he brings her to Milan. And Milan goes, ooh.
I think Shane's hungry. Can we have a bit of food?
Thanks, Kanan. Delicious.
Kanan pulls out the lane. He's like... problem.
I brought you something. It's like a dog bringing something to his master. See, look what I brought you.
Good job. I do think at some point we're going to see that cross with Milan, and maybe I'm getting
I hope so.
I do too. Well, this is what I think about the whole Dean Milan situation. Dean and the Milan and that whole crew, they are so powerful that Ghost and Tommy needs to take it to the streets. You remember back in the day when you always needed to get someone like a Pookie or somebody you always had to go to the streets to get somebody to bail you out.
Yeah.
They're going to have to take this to the streets, because anywhere else in corporate world or America or whatever, they have it on lock. And I feel like they have to really go to the streets in order to figure out how to take out Milan.
Well, he better figure it out fast.
Yeah.
And I better do it today.
And I wonder, do you think that Kanan and Ghost
will have to
form an alliance?
No. I don't think
that's too messy.
Yeah, I don't think
it's too messy.
Kanan is hell bent on revenge.
Yeah.
I don't see him caring enough about Ghost, his safety, or Milan coming into the mix to be like, you know what, let's join forces.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. Maybe they will, but I just don't see Kanan doing that. He has the Freddy Krueger arm now. He's done.
I don't see it. Huh? He can't say it, but
I know.
Tell us the truth. Please. No.
No, I don't. You know, it's interesting to see all of these pieces that have kind of been dangling out there in the universe. They're all coming back at the same time now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Kanan's back. Milan has revealed himself. This shit with Angela's going down. Tasha's in the mix now. The divorce is like what's happening. There's so many different factors going on, which is why I was saying he's so good at compartmentalizing, because I would just be like, fucking, I'm out.
I'm going to go on a little vacation.
Yeah. Go, leave.
I got some shit to do somewhere else.
Deuces.
You know?
I agree. Yeah. I would have been gone too. Like, yeah. I can't deal with this shit.
Now, he doesn't know about Kanan yet, but when that shit comes through, you know, I'm assuming that's going to happen at some point. He's going to be like, fuck.
Because he still thinks Kanan is dead.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And Will Dre tell him, or do you think Dre's going to continue to play both sides?
I don't think Dre's going to tell him, because somehow Ghost has to give Dre the side eye. Something has to break between them, between those two, and Dre's going to have to make a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to decide.
I know who he's choosing. Let's keep it.
We wait for predictions.
Yeah, okay. we wait for predictions.
Okay, so
Angela?
So he's choosing down. Karen.
Okay, Tariq tells his mama, you're a fucking liar, just like him.
Oh.
And then when she proceeds to slap the shit out of him, he grabs her arm because he does not want to be slapped. Okay, so what are your thoughts on that scene?
No, Tasha took too long, I think, to slap him, because he saw that coming from a mile away. He would have been slapped already before he finished saying effing. Like, he would have been slapped. But
I think she was...
She was so, a little taken aback.
I think
back.
She was so in shock, like, did my just... What?
Yeah. Back in the day, I had a cousin who tried to do that to his mom, and he showed up the next day at school with a black eye. Like, dead serious. Well, he came to school with a black eye. I was like, well, when is he going to get punched? Like, when is she going
to
punch him?
It's a weird dynamic to think that you're supposed to, as a son, your mom raises her hand to you, and you're supposed to just go, okay, go ahead. Basically... Because she doesn't have, two things could happen. Either he just like, okay, here it comes, and like lets it happen, or she has to have some training.
Yeah.
Some like, you know, she needs to get a little faster with her reflexes, like you said, because it did, you know, it came in like, and he's like, oh, come on, seriously? Like, he's watching, he's like, what am I supposed to do with this? I did that shit to my mom when I was, you know, a teenager. She tried to slap me, and it was that dynamic shift of like, oh. All of a sudden she's like, what the fuck, you little kid, don't you put your hands on me. And it's like, you raised your hand to me. I'm like, well, hold on a second, I didn't raise my hand to you. You were trying to hit me, and I just did this. That's all I did. I just did this.
Listen, I have island parents. I'm from the Caribbean. That none of that applies. None of it.
You just accept it.
Oh, you better take your whooping. Yeah. They will tell you to go get the belt so you take your whooping. Yes. Okay, that's what seriously.
They did that to me too, but I couldn't do it. I refused to accept a spanking. They'd be like, get over here. Get over here now.
Mm-hmm. I think Tasha.
And I couldn't do it.
I think Tasha also, obviously, she had a bunch of emotions going on through her head, because I think that's probably why she paused a little bit, because she also at that moment realized that Tariq is not a little boy anymore. Yeah. He's becoming a teenager. And she had to think for a minute, okay, do I continue to try to be this alpha male mom, or do I turn it over into the hands of Ghost?
Daddy, come and take your role. I agree. I think her calling him was the best move.
And she did. And she said to him, she says, she says something like, you better come talk to your child before I kill him.
Yeah.
So now let's go to Ghost and his the way he handled the situation.
I know Bam. Here come Bam.
Okay.
Come on.
So, all right. So this,
you're talking about with Tariq.
Yeah. Okay. So this is my problem with Ghost. Finally you hemmed him up. Yes, congratulations. His ass should have been hemmed up a long time ago. But what bothered me about the situation is, what pissed you off is not the fact that he raised his hand to the mother of your child. He raised his voice to you and said something to his girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend, because they're not together, not your current wife, but because he said something to offend your now ex-girlfriend, now you want to hem him up and throw him against the wall because you're pissed. Okay, now last week I got dragged by my friends for dragging Ghost, but listen,
let him have it.
Save your texts because I don't care. What the fuck?
I agree with that. I mean, he was like, you know, because you just gotta, you know, when your mom, you know, just keep it cool with her, you know, apologize. And he was like, yeah, like you did to your side bitch. And he was like, I was like, well.
I'm sorry.
So that it was, but it showed right there. It showed what Ghost cares about. Like he cares about Angela to the effect of he'll let Tariq low key disrespect Tasha, give him a little talking to. But then if you cross Angela, he's like, he turns into a hawk.
It's ridiculous.
I think it was more about crossing him. That's the vibe I got. It was like, you know, you disrespected your mom. That's not cool. But then he disrespects him.
That's a good way to see it. Yeah.
I don't think so, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like, well, hold on, you know, Angie, you know, she's... I think it had more to do with, you know, you saw the street side. I don't think Tariq has ever seen Ghost.
I agree. Yeah, that was good.
I'm happy he got to see him.
He saw Ghost for a minute, just in the eyes, and you saw Tariq just sort of didn't have to say anything. He just, you know, I think the little boy, you know, he became a little boy again all of a sudden. He went from being like, yeah, fuck you, to like, oh shit, and ran out of the room, you know?
I agree, but I still have to be Petty Pablo because...
Love him.
Tariq mentioned... He mentioned Angela, and Angela's what set him off. And yes, I do agree that it was, you know, he was being tested, but he was tested because he mentioned his ex-girlfriend's. I don't like it. That's it. I'm done. I don't like it. And he's
saying he's more respectful to Angela than he is to Tasha.
Yeah.
He's saying that triggered it.
Yeah.
All the other shit that Tariq did, and that's the only time you lose your cool.
Yeah,
because think about it. He got more upset with the side piece comment than he did with Tariq bringing the gun to school. He didn't go off like this with the gun.
At the same time, I'm playing devil's advocate. At the same time, like you said, he was at that moment. That's the first time he raised his voice and cursed his dad. So that could be a reason why he lost his cool. And it just happens to be in the same sentence where he, you know, mentions Angela. I'm just saying.
Okay, so now, do you think Tasha should? Okay, so now going forward in last night's episode, so. Ghost needs money, and so he went to Tasha, and Ghost wants Tasha to take money out from the RA and from the kids trust fund, and Tasha basically told him hell no.
Yep.
You agree or disagree?
I agree.
With that.
And then
Shane, did you agree?
Yeah, I mean it's tough. I mean, and then it was funny. She was like, "We'll go ask Angela for money," and his response was funny. It wasn't like I'm not going to ask Angela for money. You know, she doesn't have that kind of money. It was like, "Well, I can't ask her because we're not together." It was like, "Well, I would have asked her." It had a little bit of that, like, but I can't right now. Okay. So he's like, "Does Tariq have any money?" Tariq, listen, man. Just like, get back to you tomorrow.
Sorry.
Raina, get over here, Raina. I need to talk to you for a minute.
Give me some money, please.
Do you have some money? Give me that piggy bank. Because I'm thinking, like, he doesn't need a couple $100.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know how much he needs, but it sounds like it's in the realm of you need a couple hundred G's or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's trying to pay Karen, I think, $1 million. I think
is it half a million?
It didn't say, but I was assuming at least a million.
Right, and so now he can't do that because he has to pay Dean, so you're assuming it's in the ballpark of being really fucking expensive.
Yeah.
He's got to raid the coffers in order to do it. And
listen, I agree with Tasha putting her foot down because at this point, Ghost has not given her any reason to feel that he's going to live up to what he says he's going to do. And so as a mother, she got to protect her and her kids, and that's just what it is.
And not only that, but Tasha can tell when he's lying. So she had asked him, she says, do you even know how to tell the truth anymore? When she asked about the whole Knicks game, you know, he starts going into this whole story. Now, my issue, again, with Ghost is if you can trust Tasha
exactly.
to go on this hotel spree and to pretend that you're, you know, your alibi, you can't tell her what happened with the incident.
See, I agree with that until I agree with it, but once it affects the kids, mm-hmm. then he, because think about it, if he says to Tasha, I almost got shot and Tariq almost got the blowback and probably would have got shot too, that changes things. You can't hang out with your kids no more. Don't come over. You putting the kids' lives in danger. So
he barely hang out with him anyway.
Kind of, but if you remember, she's the one that pressured him to stay in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
And now the game's getting dangerous for the family, and he wanted out a few years ago.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know. And I think the only reason he's still in this, well, you know, she's like, I want you to be the biggest drug dealer in New York
exactly.
City. That's the line, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say too, this episode, one of my favorite lines. I wonder who wrote it. I'm not sure who wrote it, but this line where she says to Angela, she says, "You were a midlife crisis." Crisis over, bitch.
She always has these great punchlines. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Great line.
That's good.
And so what's your thoughts on how when Angela came to Tasha to...
Protect her.
To protect her.
She's out of order for that. I'm sorry.
She said, you know, we fucked all night.
Then I laughed. Because when she said, oh, he murdered something, all right. Yeah. I was like, what? Okay. She was killing her right there. But at some point, Angie's real comfortable coming to Tasha. And a part of me is pissed that she did that and she showed up. But a part of me is not, because up until that point, Tasha wouldn't have known what was going down.
True.
She would not have known anything. She didn't know. She just thought that she was the alibi and they took care of business. They did what they had to do. But the fact that it trickled down and now it's being investigated, I'm not mad at Angie for telling her that because of that reason. Mm-hmm. But if she wouldn't have told her that and just showed up again, I would have been like, girl, beat it.
I mean, I have to agree with you, Bam, because you brought up an excellent point. If Ghost would disclose a little more to Tasha, I mean, you trust her with everything else. If you would disclose a little more with her, then all those little loose ends and little questions and things that you're not supposed to say that come out because Tasha doesn't know what's going on, she's out of the loop, I think there would be a little more tight ship being
run. He does tell her. He doesn't give her specifics, but at the end of the episode, when he takes her out,
yeah.
He takes her out to the pool and he's like, and he tells her.
Nice pool too.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. But my thing is why up until that point, like you had all this time, I feel like he should have disclosed a lot of the things prior to that.
I think so too. And also because Tasha would have been more prepared for this
when
Tatiana.
Because exactly.
Low key, they could have shot them. They could have killed them right then. And I'm just saying, I obviously no, but I felt like she would have been more prepared to handle the situation.
But you know what though? If
Am
Ghost,
I being too much?
No. If Ghost tells Tasha and they have that type of relationship, then why are they even apart in the first place then? You know? Like if the communication lines are that in sync and everything that goes down, I know they're business partners and I know that's kind of how they started, but you got to kind of look at it. If Ghost keeps running back to Tasha and telling her everything and that every time it goes down, blah, 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 then what are he, like, why, just move back in. Just get back with her.
She already knows so much. Like, I feel like it's at this point, this is just about making sure that like all ends are,
yeah.
There's nothing that's loose, that's hanging. You know, that's what I think. I think just telling Tasha what's going on makes sense.
I think as a dad, you know, I have two kids. And as a dad, I think part of his thing is he's worried if he tells Tasha some of the shit that's been going down.
She's gonna go
this is me watching the show going like, oh, I get what he's doing. Because if as a dad, you know, if I was to be, you know, confronted with some information, and I would probably conceal it to protect my kids and my wife. Yeah. And I think I think he's trying, even though it's maybe the wrong choice. I think in his heart he's going like, if I say what happened in the car with Tariq, how would she respond? Would she up and go, fuck this, I'm taking moms, I'm taking the kids, and we're out and we're gone? And then he's like left there by himself, which actually, you know, might be the best thing for him,
right?
Until he handles all this stuff.
Sure.
But in the meantime, he's going like, those are his kids, which I assume is the most important thing to him. And he doesn't want to lose them. So I think that's why he says, oh, Dean, this is who Dean is at the end, but he doesn't say what happened still.
Yeah.
At the same time, too, though, why is nobody bringing up the fact that Holly's who put out this hit on Ghost? So it's not like some random person. They know who put out the hit on Ghost. I think it was something he could have told Tasha. That's just how I feel about it.
Yeah,
so.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. We have to go into this investigation, because this investigation, the way it was shot, it was, oh my God, it was so cool.
It was.
So Sandoval has been, let's see, where's my... Okay, so MJ and her master, that's what I call her master, the dude who she was making the sandwiches for and the sugar. We're going to call him master, because clearly I'm like, why is she... why is she taking the tomato off this dude's sandwich, and why is she giving
they've been working together a long time, I guess.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Was just so weird to me.
Maybe they're sleeping together. I don't know. She did insinuate that Angie needs to use what she, you know, I don't know. Maybe she's giving up the goods.
Mm-hmm. It's lonely on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so MJ and her master is there to investigate the criminal conspiracy of the Lobos escape, and so Sandoval gets informed that he will not be a part of the investigation, and that everyone in the task force is under investigation. So now, Sandoval, I just want to go per person. So Sandoval, what was you guys' take on Sandoval's investigation? Just a couple of things. So he was questioned about how he's been investigated by the OPR before, when Lobos California distributor was murdered in his custody. He says it was a formality. He was clear. You notice how he was clicking his thumbs again. So I don't know if that's a thing for something that they'll notice later on, showing signs that he's nervous. But so he says he knows nothing about the phone found at Lobos' murder scene. I thought the phone was smashed to pieces way down yonder somewhere before he escaped and ran off.
No, they did it right there and then.
Well, it was still after Lobos went missing.
Yeah.
So to me, it didn't matter if it was when he ran off, like, you know, when he ran and Ghost and Tommy were arguing. To me, it didn't matter.
Okay.
As long as he called the phone.
Yeah.
And then the cell phone signal, blah, 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 and they could trace it back. It doesn't matter where they were with the phone.
Exactly.
I think what he's saying is that the location, you know, he ran off. And so if you were going just to find the phone, you might not necessarily find the body. But I think he ran back toward the road, though. So if you were walking from the road to the phone, you trip over Lobos.
And either way, they probably sweep the whole area, too.
Well, MJ's so smart. They tend to throw questions at you sometimes that's maybe untrue. So I don't know if that was a question that she was asking to try and trick him, or what was going on. Because MJ, she was on it the whole entire time. So I wondered about that.
He kept it cool, though.
Yeah, he did. He kept it cool.
He was a little confident with it, too. Like,
But one thing he did do is he threw Angela and her relationship with James St. Patrick under the bus in order for him to get on the other side of the table.
Everybody threw that relationship under the bus, except for Angie. Mm-hmm. So
no, she threw it under the bus, too.
Oh, she did? Yeah. She sure did.
Anything on Sandoval's? Okay, so then Angela did the same thing.
Yeah.
She flipped it.
What were your thoughts on her and MJ's conversation in the bathroom?
You know, it reminded me of that whole Holly thing, but not in that same effect, but the bathroom. It becomes this place where you can confide in each other or learn something that you didn't learn before, in the women's bathroom, meeting in the ladies' room. So I liked it.
That was in my notes too, meeting in the ladies' room.
I like how they're using the bathroom. It was cool. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they had that little moment, and you know, I also feel like she understands Angela a little bit, you know. So even when she started to disclose all the stuff about Ghost, She was like, it's not Angela. I don't think she thinks it's Angela, so.
Okay. Now, Jerry Donovan is a brother who came in last week. Where the hell he come from? I understand he came because after Greg was instated, but.
Yeah, he kind of showed up out of nowhere.
So do you question his motive, or why is he there? Do you think he's there for a reason, or just an extra body to be associated with this whole the transferring of Lobos?
I mean, you never know with this show, because remember, we thought Sandoval was just like a guy his job, and then bam, he's a rat. So I don't know.
Okay,
well, I think he came in as Greg's supervisor or something like that, right? Because Greg was under investigation. Mm-hmm. And so that's when he showed up. Mm-hmm. And so he's a link to the FBI.
Okay.
You know, and Greg and he are both FBI guys, right? And the rest of us are AUSAs. And so he's part of the, so when it comes to the transport, that's an FBI thing.
Okay. Yeah.
And so that's why he's linked into it, and he was one of the few people that had the information.
Okay.
So he's stuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cooper Sacks, so he says that everyone knew about the relationship, but he stayed out of the business. And then MJ says, probably because you're too distracted with interpersonal problems of your own.
We found out about
you. I never bring my issues to work.
Hey, man.
I'm not sure if there's enough space in here for what you do. Then Master looks over and laughs. Ha, ha, ha. So that was a picture. That had to have been a photo. Because, you know, for you to laugh so quickly, you can't be reading. Like, okay, okay. So that was a photo. So let's talk.
Yeah, let's figure this out.
All right, so what is the big issue?
What's in the photo?
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, whatever it is, it's not severe enough for him to be out, because he's still there.
Yeah.
And he's still moving up the ranks. He hasn't been outcasted. And if he has, he wasn't outcasted to, like, the shitty team. He's on an actual, like, he's on a good case. So it couldn't have been that bad. Mm-hmm. But now that you bring up the picture, maybe he was some nudes or something. Maybe Cooper had a little issue with, with Snapchatting, and somebody screenshot it, put it in his folder, and showed. I don't know.
He likes the ladies. I don't know. He was doing some stuff.
I don't think it's as bad as obviously, like, pedophilia, because Nomar was a pervert. Yeah. So, but then something sexual would be too obvious.
What?
I don't know, because we don't know much about. Okay,
we
so
we don't know anything about.
So
Cooper.
What can you tell us without getting fired?
About Cooper
and this secret.
Or anything.
Well, you know, this remains. You know, we're still discovering this kinky side of Cooper Sacks. But I do think that the thing to point out is there is a lot of shit you can do that's kinky and messed up and twisted that's not illegal.
Mm-hmm. True.
If you're consenting.
Mm-hmm. True.
You can do all kinds of stuff.
So is it sexual?
I think it's absolutely. That's a word that probably should be used when you're describing it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think it's some, you know, I think it's some stuff that if these people leaked it to the office, like if the office saw these photos and knew this,
they'd
be like, I gotta transfer it. You know? Mm-hmm. But I think it's behind him.
Or so we think.
I don't think it's necessarily something that he would, you know. I think it's something that
toys up your butt.
Past.
Oh, wait.
He said behind. So
no, he means like in the past.
Oh,
so stupid.
Double entendre. And yes, I'm wearing Benoit balls right now. You hear them? Can you hear them?
I kind of hear. That's so stupid. I can't.
It's terrible. What's wrong with you people?
Okay, so anything else about regarding Cooper Sacks? Like, I feel like this was this is actually a great time for you to come in, because this is a time where we actually got to see more about his character outside of in the office, kind of playing both sides. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Cooper always has that air about him, like, you know, when somebody looks like they always have a secret, but don't nobody else know about the secret.
Yeah.
He's the only one in on it. That's Cooper. He has no problem talking shit. He's always taking little jabs at Angie.
Mm-hmm.
He's always in the mix. So
he always pops up out of nowhere.
He always pops up out of nowhere.
Corner, like,
and then he was at Greg.
Where'd you come
he kicked
from?
It with Greg a couple times when he was.
So again, your story is due. I'm really happy to see where this is going, man.
Yeah, me too.
Because Cooper gets shady sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Okay, now
I'd like to pretend like I know exactly what's happening, but I don't. We will discover it together.
Okay.
Well, I know that. Shut up, Bam. You know something.
Yeah, I know something.
But you know,
you can't tell his business.
Okay, so what I find fascinating, Power is your first series regular show. Now, the audition process, mm-hmm. what was that like? And did you only audition for Cooper? Or did you do for, or did you go out for other roles?
No, I was up for Holly.
Mm, okay, cool.
And then they were like, wrong. And so I was actually up for Tommy. And then that's when I met, that's when I met everybody, Courtney and everybody. And they were awesome. And I was kind of like, I don't know if this is parts right for me or not. But I went in there and I did everything I could do. And then they brought me back for Greg. Mm. Greg Knox. And that was closer. But then when when I saw the description of Cooper Sacks, overeducated, arrogant prick, I was like, well, fuck, that's me. Not that I'm overeducated, just that I'm a prick. I think I met them probably five times before this thing came through. Mm. A blessing for sure.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Blessing for sure.
I just want to mention some of the other, you've been a part of some really great stuff prior to finally landing Empire.
Empower.
You were on Bones, you were on ER, you were on CSI New York, you were on Cold Case, and you were also on Private Practice, which I think is interesting because the episode that you did on Private Practice, you were trying to adopt with your wife, who was Quinn Lowes, who plays Quinn. You guys were hiding a secret.
Secrets. I like secrets.
And now you are hiding a secret on Power, which I think is pretty cool. Mm.
Always have a secret. Makes you interesting, right?
Yeah, it does.
What the fuck is that guy thinking about?
And then there's another show. I know we're wrapping. There's another show on Stars called Possession of
Michael King.
Michael King.
Possession of Michael King, which is on Stars on Demand. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely one to watch.
What's your
maybe
character?
Not by yourself. I'm okay. Michael King. Okay. So it's a lot of Shane Johnson. But I'm very proud of it. It's one of my most, after Power, I would say it's probably my most proud artistic moment.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Now, did you think that, clearly a lot of us didn't know off top that Power is going to be what it is today, like now being here from when it started, have you?
You have no idea. Yeah, I've been at this for 20 years and there's so many things that I did that I was like, oh, this is the thing. This is going to pop. And the fact that this did in such a big way, I mean, I feel like we're breaking records all the time. We're, mm-hmm. It's like I said, it's just a huge blessing. And I have to say that it's all due to, it's really the writers. Yeah. The writers keep me, it's Courtney and running the shit out of the writer's room and keeping this thing on point. And I'm blown away. When I read the episodes, I'm like, how the fuck are we going to do this much shit mm-hmm. in one episode?
Yeah.
There's so many things happening, and there's so much subtext, and there's so many plot twists, and it's always like, on the edge of your seat. And that's so, awesome. And they just keep it up. They do it 10 hours a year,
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so let's go into predictions.
No okay, time for predictions.
Okay.
Because
Janisha has another show. Well, I'm going to give my prediction because the fans would just hate us if we don't. As far as who's going to take the fall, I'm coming. As far as who's going to take the fall between Sandoval, Cooper, Angela, and Donovan, do you guys have just a name that you want to throw out as far as who you guys are going to think is going to take the rap?
I think it's Greg.
I think it's Sandoval. I think he should go, but that's just me.
Okay. I'm not really sure yet, but I think it may be between Angela and you're safe.
He's safe, not going to kill you.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know, but thank you guys for tuning in. Let everyone know where you could be found on social media.
Shane_M_Johnson. I'm sorry it's long, but it is. And that's my Twitter handle. Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get him a Snapchat.
Yeah, I'm going to do the Snapchat thing. I'm just, you know, I'm learning. I'm learning. I'm new to this.
And then what about you guys?
Well, you can find me on all social media at Janisha underscore Miss VI.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Kenelia.
And you can find me on all social media at Bam Erickson. And also, I just want to give a shout out to Just Blaze. Last week when I gave that big theory about Tommy and them being stepbrothers, on his podcast, which is called Jensen Instrumentals, he actually said it first. And so I just want to give a shout out to him on all social media. It's JessBlaze at 513. So kudos to you guys. Well,
this was awesome. Thank you guys.
Thank you so much. And we want to thank you for coming. And, you know, we think you're going to make it for season 4. So please come back. please come back.
I'll try.
Thank you guys for watching AfterBuzz TV for Power Season 3, Episode 7. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you guys next show.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.